a special Thanksgiving edition of the Fraughtcast. It's early this week, so you can listen to it, preferably at the Thanksgiving feast. It's a perfect perfect companion.
Yeah. Perfect for the family.
Tell your aunt to shut up. We got Fraughtcast to listen to.
Aunt, whoever, shut the fuck up. Get food in your mouth. This is your ear rapist, Ben. We have the whole crew, blogger extraordinaire Vince.
That's me.
Hungover Brett. And NFL superstar Brandon.
Drink your steak nuts.
And we already have Laramie Legal.
Preloaded. Say the things.
It's blooped in. He's blooped in.
Show that you're here.
I have gravy all over my body.
Which is true, by the way.
But that's always true. It's weirdly coincidental for Thanksgiving.
He's like Altered Beast for Sega Genesis. He just comes right on. He's right in there when you load him up, and it's right in there.
Because Genesis came with Altered Beast. Yeah. Come on.
Very, very clever reference.
What does he say when it is like,
rise from your
grave? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. That's what I was looking for.
Wow, that's a blast from the past. Yeah. That's pretty quick right there.
Yeah, Altered Beast was great because you didn't have to wear pants.
You're a beast.
Was that your favorite part about it?
Yeah, let the wildness take charge.
This week, we will read some emails. Vince desperately wants to finish the Steven Seagal game.
How can that still be going on?
No one knows.
Oh, there's a few more. Don't worry about it.
I think it's now been running longer than Jeopardy.
It's like a cricket game at this point.
Yeah.
We broke for lunch.
It's a test match. It's a 5-day test match.
Cucumber sandwiches and tea.
We asked him, oh, God, we're bringing that back, and he just glared at us with the most injured look on his face. It never left.
And then he dick-punched all of us.
You love it. It's the best.
And then we're going to do some sort of holiday or Thanksgiving movie guide. Are we going to get full holiday into Jesus's birthday or just Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
All right.
The cab drive over here contained nothing but Christmas songs. I guess a radio station just doing that. Just fuck.
Oh, that's every year.
Fuck,
and it turns out,
man,
people like that. I have friends that listen to the Christmas songs.
That's what I was thinking. Like, if you're in a Starbucks or something, like, oh, it's festive, but if you're just fucking tuning into the Christmas channel, like, what the fuck is wrong
with you?
It's
a weird thing because it's the same songs every single year,
yeah,
just over and over, and not good songs.
No.
Also,
yeah, but you guys got to admit, that Trans-Siberian Orchestra, that's your jam. Come on.
Well, that's my jam.
Yeah, and the Boys to Men holiday album?
I'm preferential to Mariah Carey.
Yeah, you're leaving out All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Hanson Snowed In. Anyone?
Wow. I think we found out who listens to the Christmas radio station.
Hey, having actually worked in a Starbucks, I will say this. I will fucking murder Josh Groban with a shovel because that is the worst, most awful thing. He sings all opera-y with the vibrato, and he does like a super slow version of Silent Night, and he's like, Silent Night. And it's supposed to be, I don't know, but it's fucking unlistenable.
I don't like it when they're all excited about their special lattes either. It's like, fuck you, it's just pumpkins.
I know no one here watched American Idol, but in season one, that one guy sang Silent Night for his audition, and he goes, Silent Night. I said, Holy Night. You remember that?
No.
Oh, it was awesome.
It sounds
a really
like
deep
it.
Baritone voice.
That's very Vanilla Ice.
I said, that's it.
You know, because it's not dun 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 dun. It's dun 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 dun.
I think there's a
ch
in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
David Bowie.
Oh, so I got some new koi calls this week too.
Oh, that's right.
Excellent.
I got some bad news though.
Uh oh! Don't tell me the koi shop shut down.
It didn't shut down, but they did. He did get a new phone number, and he sort of instituted a time limit.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Well, that could be good and bad.
Yeah.
Well,
turns out it's bad.
Yeah, it's kind
of... Is it because you're on a roll, and in like the 12th minute of the call, you really hit your apex?
Well, it's a 90-second limit.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, you know, right
short
around...
Short form.
Yeah. So we'll show you. Well, you can listen along as we discovered this.
So were you able to improvise, or is it... You really needed about 15 minutes to hit your peak.
I think we may do.
Okay.
Hello. Hello, is this Richard? Richard, this is Neil. I'm calling from Bass Pro Shops, Antelope Valley. I need you to give me a call back as soon as possible. That's ASAP, Richard. Richard, I bought 17 koi fish from you approximately 2 weeks ago. We had discussed some acrobatic koi tricks that your fish might do for our fish shoot. We don't have turkeys. We wanted to do a turkey shoot, and you and I discussed this. We talked about the Thanksgiving turkey shoot. As you know, we have a live archery range in the Bass Pro Shops in Ott Valley. We cannot shoot the turkeys in this facility anymore due to a tragedy last year. God bless Plissy Perkins. Plissy Perkins, if you're listening, God damn it, I wish we had not shot you. I really wish you looked less like a land fowl. You look like a turkey, Plissy Perkins, and I shot you in the face. God forgive me for my life forever. I will see your face, Plissy Perkins, every time I draw the bow. Every time I draw my bow, Plessy Perkins, I will see your adorable face, Plessy Perkins. And Richard, this is why I called you, because you and I discussed modifying the Bass Pro Shops. This is a fucking travesty. This is a travesty. This is a travesty. You have to be fucking kidding me.
So that was when you discovered.
That was when we discovered.
So angry.
So
God damn it, I can't leave him 12-minute messages.
Motherfucker.
So he goes on to try and continue the same thread. None of that was written down or planned. He just sort of came up with the name Plessy Perkins. I don't know where that came from. But
I also like how he says we discussed on every call.
Yeah.
This was something we discussed. Richard, it was discussed.
I also like that he called up koi fish. It's like the Dalmatian dog.
True. The HIV virus.
Richard, once again, this is Neil, Antelope Valley Bass Pro Shops, calling in regards to Plessy Perkins Memorial Memorial Koi Shoot. As you understand from our last message, your voicemail cut us off. I don't know if you're prepared for the volume of messages you're about to receive, but stand by because we have a great deal of information portrayed to you. Four, you sold us 17 koi fish. You were under the impression, as we discussed, that these koi fish would be substituted for turkeys in the Plessy Perkins Memorial Turkey Shoot at the Antelope Valley Bass Pro Shops. Due to the fact that Plessy Perkins perished last year during the Memorial Turkey Shoot, turkey being a land fowl, Plessy Perkins was herself a small human being and was shot in the face. Plessy Perkins, God bless you, Plessy Perkins. I love you, Plessy Perkins. Arrow through the face, 27-pound test on that arrow. It penetrated her skull like a hot knife through butter, Richard. Hot knife through butter. And what I'd much rather see is hot knife through koi fish. And that is why I purchased 17 koi fish from you. And you told me that these koi fish, when stimulated with electric shock in the koi pond, would exit the koi pond. They would exit the koi pond vertically. Vertically as if a turkey were exiting the ground. You said that the koi pond would simulate the turkey flight. This is fucking intolerable.
We got another one with Plessy Perkins.
How dare he not let me leave a longer message?
This is what's wrong with the economy right here. These guys with their 90-second messages.
Fucking
son
occupy this motherfuckers.
Of a bitch!
I mean, what about the First Amendment?
I'm sure you're about to occupy his entire voicemail.
Occupy Toys R Us.
Richard, during the Plessy Perkins Memorial Turkey Shoot Tournament this year, we applied the 220-volt shock to the koi pond. Your koi did exit the field as advertised. However, they did not reach the minimum height of 24 inches outside of the koi field. That being said, our competitors were advised that they were to fire at the 24-point mark, 24-inch mark above the pond. Having fired at the 24-inch mark above the pond, and their arrows not meeting any resistance above the said pond, they met Lee Perkins, father of Plessy Perkins, on the opposite side of the pond. He was shot with 27 arrows. Richard, your koi are directly responsible for the death of two members of the Perkins family. Richard, Bass Pro Shops are being asked to pay for wrongful death termination suits, i.e. the family members Plessy and Richard Perkins. Two members of the Perkins family, Richard. You owe us money. Your cord did not jump as advertised, and I would like you to call me. This is Neil, Antelope Valley Bass Pro Shops. Please call me as soon as you can, Richard. Your koi are still swimming. They're blowing bubbles. They're doing all the things the koi do, but they're not doing the things you told me that they would do, which was jump. Your recording time is
about to expire. We have a couple more.
It really messes with his flow. You can tell he's running out of steam a lot more than he used to because he keeps getting cut off.
Yeah.
Les Barkin, you're death of two Barkin family members.
He used to heat up right around the 90-second mark.
No, we're going on about 270 seconds, and this is when he would just start getting hot.
Just start insulting Richard's whole family.
Yeah, and now he's sort of slowing down. He hit his apex at about the 100-second mark.
I'm disappointed.
Would you like to hear the Jurassic Park Reenactors Guild or the Trout Meats?
Jurassic Park Reenactors Guild, for sure.
Yeah.
Hello, Richard. Hello! Richard, this is Steven. This is Steven calling from the Jurassic Park Reenactors Guild. Richard, I just really need to get a hold of you, Richard. We're working on some scenes. We really would like you to come out. I know that you've been a little nonplussed about the way that some of the last scenes have been executed. I know that you've kind of lost motivation for what we're doing with the Jurassic Park Reenactors Guild. However, I want to pitch something to you, Richard. Richard, I have something so exciting to tell you. We're working on the scene, and this is the scene title. The scene is called Search Party Approaches Alpha Pod CG5. And I know that this scene will interest you, Richard, because your character, your niche. Richard, I know you've been searching to find your niche. I know you have nothing, Richard. You have nothing. And I know that this is your niche. The lowland speckled raptor has a prominent scene in Search Party Approaches Alpha Pod CG5. No one in the Jurassic Park Reenactors Guild has the bone structure to play the lowland speckled raptor like you, Richard. And the lowland speckled raptor decimates the search party. And Search Party Approaches Alpha Pod CG5. Richard, we need you. We must have you. Fuck!
This is like trying to get Tim Tebow to play in the first quarter. It's too hard.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very front-loaded. It's hard to do.
Well, you're just getting on a roll, and then all of a sudden you get kicked right in the balls.
I know. That screwed up his flow a little bit.
Just the creeping contempt. You have nothing. You have nothing.
Jurassic Park Reenactors Guild.
Pretty good.
Dude, lowland speckled raptor. And I know he came up with all of that on the fly because I suggested something like some sort of reenactors guild with Jurassic Park, and then he came up with what was it? Something
Alpha Pod.
Alpha Pods, yeah.
Hey, Richard, this is Del Vector. Give me a call. I want to talk to you about a new business proposition that I have for you. I know that the koi industry is declined. It's in decline in the United States. It's in decline in the first squirrel overall. And so I want to talk to you about something that's not in decline. It's on the incline. And I want to be on the incline. I want you on the incline with me in the trout. In the trout, Richard. You and me, we're going to be a trout industry. You and me, we could be fishing for trout. We could catch some trout. We could gut them and sell them for trout meats. And we could make the trout meat pizza. Make the trout meat sandwich. Make the trout meat sausages. We could do all kinds of things with the trout meats that we've been doing with the caught fish. We could make all kinds of money doing the trout meats, Richard. I want to tell you, when you were in the trout business with me, you could have enough money to make trout sandwiches, trout pizzas, trout sauces, trout tacos if you want to get ethnic, Richard.
What happened there?
Is that it?
No, there's more.
It's sort of like a Tracy Morgan-esque.
Oh my god, that was amazing.
There's a blank spot in that one. There's more to that one. I don't know what happened. Hold on.
You got the load.
Sorry.
I don't judge, Richard. I just know that you try to make them dollars. Because I know that you got a lot of puka shell necklaces. You got cell phones. you got two-way pagers, Richard, that you got to pay bills on. And I know that when caught fishing, paying the bills, you got to get with the trout meat. You got to go with the trout meat, Richard. Get on board. Fish for me. Fish with me, Richard. Buy the trout meats with me.
It's really good. At first, uh-oh. This is when Brendan almost dies.
I think we killed him.
This is close. At first, I was picturing him saying, like, we're going to make the trout make sandwiches and make pizzas.
Yeah. Which wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities.
No,
for
not at all.
Call.
Not at all. But and then I realized he was just talking about trout pizza and trout sandwiches.
There's a two-way pager.
I tried to...
Puka shell necklaces are always funny.
I tried to make a few of these, and mine just go downhill really, really fast.
You can hear, this is Vince. I mean, not Vince.
Yeah, I'm really not good at these. So I did one, and it's just me. Where I think it's like 4:30 in the morning at this point, and I'm just so drunk and delirious that it's like the dumbest thing that I've probably ever done. Here you go.
Hey, Richard, this is Michael Irvin from the Dallas Cowboys. You might remember me from the Super Bowls that I won in the middle or late 90s. Here's the deal. I got these gloves, and I use them to catch footballs. But sometimes I drop them. That's why I don't play football anymore. But I was thinking that you could make me some gloves out of the koi that you put in the ponds. The koi that you usually put in the ponds, you should take them out of the ponds and you should cut off their skin and you should make me some gloves. And it will be the best comeback in history because people will be like, Michael Irvin, he's so old, he should not be catching footballs the way he should not be able to catch footballs like that. But I will catch him. I will just go downfield and they will throw me the ball and I will just catch footballs. And it'll be, what is going on? How can Michael Irvin catch football so well? And it'll be because of your koi skins gloves, Richard. I will catch me, Michael Irvin. I will catch footballs because of your koi skin, Richard, because of the gloves that you make me, and we could be partners, and I will give you the football trophy, and we will go to Disneyland together, me and you.
That was kind of like your urinating in jars moment right there. That could really be used against you. I'd worry about that one.
Yeah, probably.
I really enjoyed that.
I was so tired and drunk that I couldn't remember the name of the Vince Lombardi trophy, so I just said
the football trophy.
I also just like the Super Bowls that I may have won in the middle to late 90s.
Late 90s. He covered himself with air. He knew, yeah.
I
those
that.
Those are good. Yeah. Oh, God. What's sad is with the hangover, I'm just exuding poison from the laughing. Just pumping out black.
Yeah. So hopefully there'll be more of those over Christmas.
Hmm. Well, Richard, I hope you're listening. You can look forward to that.
Yeah.
Do you think all Richard wanted to do was sell koi? That was his dream.
Do you think he just rolled into Best Buy and was like, "What do you have that records messages and has a timer?"
He's gonna now up the ante though. Soon it'll be like, "You have 10 seconds. Leave a message."
It's kind of sad. I feel like we've ruined him a little bit because when we first started making these calls, his outgoing message was literally 90 seconds long of him leaving special instructions for different types of people. It was like the smuggest, most assholey outgoing message, which is part of the reason we started leaving the calls in the first place. And like over the years, he'd keep changing it, and it gradually got shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And now it's like, it's almost a regular message. It's still kind of dickish and weird, but it's nowhere near like it used to be, and it's not as fun. Not
well,
gonna lie.
He's never acknowledged you guys, right?
No, never.
He's lost the light in his eyes a little bit.
We've left people's real numbers on the phone before. We've never gotten the call.
Well, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say he probably doesn't listen.
He
to
probably
the
just hears like,
thing.
"I'm a dumb Richard," and he just clicks delete. I'm guessing
next message.
I don't know. He may listen to all of them. For comedy's sake, I hope he enjoys them. Yeah.
We tried to leave more, but his voice box was full.
Oh, no. I wonder why. I wonder why. That's weird.
I like how you just talked about how you're leaving a message at 4:30 in the morning. You're like, yeah, we kept trying. It was full for some reason. Maybe because we had been leaving messages on it all night.
Yeah, it was only
you ever gone for like just stark realism? Like, I have a coy emergency!
Yeah.
Please help me.
We've probably done variations on just about everything.
Because you want to keep them on the line and then get them at the end, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Is there such thing as a coy emergency?
You kind of like do the Howard Stern, where it's like, yeah. You know, they talk like about normal. Like, yeah, well, what I saw was, you know, the tidal wave came crashing over the beach. And then it turned out that it came from Howard Stern's prostate. Baba boy, baba boy, baba boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to be coy emergencies.
It's a little different when there's no back and forth. We're just leaving a message that he's probably not going to listen to at all.
You never know. But for Brendan's thing, I do like when the Howard Stern people actually keep it more mellow. And you know, I was at the riot. People were getting pepper sprayed. And I just had a question. What's it like to suck Howard Stern's dick? Like that sort of stuff. It makes me laugh every single time. Yeah. And then whoever it is, whether it's like Larry King or whatever, just has this blank look like, oh,
okay, next caller.
Oh, looks like we've been had.
Yeah, I liked the one. I liked the really subtle ones, like the one where they'd call two Chinese places at the same time and sort of patch him in so they were talking to each other. And he's like, so you want broccoli beef? And he's like, yeah, broccoli beef. And then they'd be confused. No, where are you going? Where are you going? And then they would just be both really, really confused.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Have you ever been into Richard's koi pond of life?
No, I have no idea where it is.
Really? You should probably
go inside.
We've seen like one picture of him on the internet that we've based.
You know,
all of our.
You know, you should probably visit there.
Ridicule
slander,
on.
All of us.
yeah, basically.
At this point, you should buy a koi. You kind of owe the guy.
That's true. I would gladly buy. Well, actually, they're like $1,000, aren't they?
No, I think they're like $2,000 or $3,000.
Big goldfish.
They're expensive as hell.
They're really expensive. Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah, they live for like way
you
longer.
You can get them
than
for free though if you go to a rich person's house and they have a pond in back.
Boom! Free koi fish.
Yep.
I bet you could trick them into sucking your dick.
Just cook them up.
Get them in a like backpack. Chicken. Carp. It just means carp in Japanese, doesn't it?
Koi buffet.
Yeah.
Boom.
I had a topic maybe for next week's people. Should I save it for things that people should email us to the end?
How about let's just talk about everything that we're going to talk about next week?
No, for people to send us.
Just an elaborate preview.
Well,
show.
You guys can pipe in on this. I thought this was would be an interesting topic. You know, I figure it was last week or the week before we were talking about Justin's mom, you know, revealing.
All I have is rough sex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was thinking, and I remember watching Go with my mom where they were like making fun of the guy for doing tantric sex. And the guy was like, yo, that's whack. I'm all for coming and then going, you know what I mean? And then my mom was like, yeah, really?
You know, like provoked just out of the blue.
No, yeah, you know, I just want, you know, it's one of those moments where you're watching like a movie with your mom and they reference something about sex and she says something super super mundane and yet it totally reveals something that
I think haunting is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. Haunting. Exactly.
There was actually a really good Onion article that was on today and it was basically like it was like one of those op-ed pieces where it's like, kids, your mom's ready to start fucking again.
Yeah. Fun times.
Yeah.
You guys got any of those?
What?
Wait, that's the question? I missed how this derailed.
No, I was just saying.
I missed the point of derailment.
Yeah, like if a movie sparks a weird response from your mom that reveals something about her sexually. Yeah. Or if you're watching Shame with her and she's like, that's a really big penis.
Does that count if you're like watching Gone with the Wind and they're like, well, the Negroes, you know them, am I right? And give me the
yeah.
Okay. Well, that didn't happen to me, but
yeah, I do.
But a friend of mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do remember watching Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood.
With your mom?
Great
no,
movie.
No. I think it was at my grandpa's house or at our cabin or something. And my grandpa came and he's like, I don't even know why you watch these movies. It's just a bunch of sieves jumping around, blah blah blah, and like that's Armenian that's an Armenian slur against black people, apparently.
Sieves.
Mm-hmm. Either sieve or sev. I'm not sure.
Weird.
Anyway,
that's just Grandpa Mancini.
Yeah, it's just Grandpa being Grandpa. You know, keeping it real.
I was in Vermont this last weekend.
No, you weren't. That's
I was.
Not real.
I was.
Not a real place.
And
not a real state.
I was with my special lady, and we go into a bar to watch some football. This is on a Saturday.
A bar?
Yeah. There's no one in there. There's no one in there. It's, like, totally quiet. The lady, like, the TVs didn't really have a very good speaker system, so it's, like, pretty quiet. This dude comes in. He's clearly, like, a townie. It was, like, a small town in Vermont. He's got, like, the heavy plaid coat on. Mm-hmm. He's got, like, a beard, long hair. He's probably in his, like, 50s. He comes in. The bartender starts chatting him up. He's clearly, like, a regular. And he's like, you know, I was hanging out at home. I was watching that movie with Will Smith and the aliens. Oh, yeah, it's a great movie. She's like, oh, yeah, I love that movie. I don't remember what it was called. And he's like, yeah, I don't really remember what it was called either. I'm like, oh, this is annoying. I'm going to leave. Yeah. So I don't even want to have to correct them because I'll get pulled into their asinine conversation. So I go in the bathroom to take a piss. And I finish up, and I'm washing my hands, and the – it's got this like weak air blow dryer, and it's like, yeah, and it's like not drying my hands.
Someone just breathing
and
in
I
your
can
hand.
Hear, yeah, and I can hear the guy over the sound. He's like, "Oh, the best part is the alien crashes, and then Will Smith goes up on the ship, and then he punches the alien. And he says something like." Yay for America! And at this point, I can't stand anymore. I'm like, ha! And I'm trying to get my hands to dry, but they're not drying all the way. And then finally, I'm like, fuck it! And I wipe them on my shirt. I'm like, gush, kick the door open. I'm like, he says, "Welcome to Earth." And then, thank you, thank you. I didn't really have an end for that story, so that was perfect.
Yeah, that was good. The jukebox
had a ton of maple syrup.
The jukebox scratched.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone stared at you.
Yeah.
Direction, your onion.
Just panting. He says, "Welcome to Earth."
His hands dripping.
Yeah. Tears running down his face.
I was in a bar in Homer, Alaska one time.
Also not a place.
Not a place.
That's a real place. Very cold. And it was probably like 20 degrees or something, even in the summer, 20, 30 degrees. And we're getting a pizza, as people do before they go fishing. And we sit down at the booth, and we're like, "We'll have, you know, pepperoni pizza." And the lady's like, "You want that to go?"
Wait. You ordered a pepperoni pizza on purpose?
Yeah, is pepperoni not good?
It's one of those things. It's not bad. I just feel like it's one of those things you get when people are ordering pizza for a group. They just assume someone wants pepperoni. But if you take it to a person-to-person basis, almost none of them want pepperoni. Not because it's bad. It's just you're like, I want sausage or mushroom.
Sausage.
Yeah.
I was thinking, having not been to this pizza place, that I wanted to play it safe.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So, I get your thought process.
We're there 3 minutes. You can't mess up a pepperoni pizza. And she's like, "You want it to go?" And we're like, no, we'll have it here. She's like, she kind of gives us a double take. It's like, okay. 30 seconds later, this guy in a black trench coat without shoes or socks comes in. And he sits down like behind me, basically at the booth facing the other way, and talks about how he had to knife a guy the other night. And the lady comes back and she's like, "Do you want that pizza to go? It's almost ready." And we're like, "Yeah. We'll take it to go."
So she just knew that guy was coming in?
I guess. We didn't take the hint. Like, if you're not from Homer, Alaska, don't hang out in Homer, Alaska places. Or
yeah.
I don't know what it was. But
you're thinking better than
I don't know how he didn't wear shoes in 20-degree weather or socks. That struck me as odd.
I did remember seeing a guy when I was at Sundance where it was like – it was zero, around zero or less. And there was some dude in a Minnesota Vikings jersey, so I assume he was from Minnesota, and he was just standing out there in a T-shirt smoking a cigarette. I was like,
what a glorious idea to have a film festival in Park City in January. That was yeah. very smart planning.
Brett, didn't you have a weird story about a cab driver where he like accidentally told you about how he beat up like a transsexual that tricked him or something like that?
Oh yeah, but I don't remember the details, and those were kind of important.
It's like in the Navy. Or...
Yeah. He'd accidentally had sex with a man, and so punched him in the face, and then he was just like, and then it got kind of rapey. It was like a separate story, like the follow up, where he was like, that made him a little uncomfortable, and then he was just like, but you know, normally I'm just raping chicks or something along those lines. I'm like, I'll take five back. Have a good night.
I'm so straight that I actually sexually assault people.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Just, there's no, like, I couldn't even laugh nervously. I was just, right.
So, Laramie.
Sir.
What have you seen this holiday season? Well, should I go down the list? Let's go down the list. We'll do like a seen it, and then you can recommend whether we should see it or don't see it.
Okay.
The Muppets.
Seen it, liked it, you should see it.
good. Good times.
Yeah, I liked the Muppets. I thought it was pretty funny. I said, ha.
It looked pretty good.
I like the Muppets. I definitely want to see that.
I think the Muppets are great. I like the old black and white ones where they're a little dark.
Ooh.
It weirdly is set up for the first 30 minutes are not that great, and you're like, okay, this is going to be a disaster. And then it gets better and better and better and ends very strongly.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Descendants?
The Descendants is pretty great because it has a theme we've never seen in a movie, and that's yelling at a person in a coma. So it's legitimately good. Like I think it's probably going to win Best Picture or be in there.
I saw it. I think the yelling at the coma person was my... I liked it also, but I would say that was by far my least favorite part of the movie.
Really? Because that sounds pretty awesome to me.
Not when it's like every single person is yelling. Like, I understand if one guy...
she had it coming.
Well, sure, she had it coming, but I understand one guy thinking it's okay to yell at a person in a coma, but then every other person is falling into the same psychosis. Because
why would
I wouldn't bother.
You sound offended that the person that they yelled at.
Not at all, not at all. I just think, like, say you were mad at someone in a coma, and you know they're basically
highly probable.
You know they're basically brain dead. Are you gonna waste your breath yelling at their? They're mostly lifeless body.
Yeah,
I might, really? I might draw I'd a prob- little, a little
yeah,
mustache.
Yeah, I would chief her.
Little mustache.
You'd probably get a little rapey in there.
Yeah. I would chief her, you know, like shave off an eyebrow or something. But I don't see yelling at her. I don't know. It was good. I definitely don't. Also, the kid, the dumb kid,
awesome.
Was fucking the worst actor in history. Oh my god!
Love him, huh?
Well, I don't know. I liked certain scenes that he was in, but like. One scene to the next, it was completely inconsistent where he was like a complete, like borderline retarded in one scene. And then the next scene, you're like, oh, yeah, he's kind of nice. He's on the chess team. And it's like, no, that's not the same person, I don't think.
I thought it was interesting how they basically tried to like steal Hawaiian culture, but they were just massively, massively white. And they figured, well, if we show a lot of Hawaiian landscapes and they'd be like, hey, what's up, brah? Or whatever, I mean, whatever the howly way of saying all that is. And they
I was
did
sleeping
it, right?
in my car today, brah.
Yeah, they were totally like, hey, we're still Hawaiian, okay? We may not have skin tone, but we know the words.
So, Vince, does that get your thumbs up?
Yeah, for the most part. I liked it. I liked it for the most part. It was weird. It was there were certain little things that I would have done differently, but overall I thought it was pretty good.
Like the coma thing?
The coma thing and then the kid thing.
What is this movie you're talking about?
It's all right. So George Clooney lives in Hawaii and his wife gets in an accident and she's in a coma and he finds out she's been like cheating on him. And it's from the guy who did About Schmidt.
Copies of this?
It's from the guy who did About Schmidt and Election and produced Cedar Rapids, Alexander Payne.
Did you guys not get the screener copies of this?
Shut up. Don't rub it. Don't you rub it in my face.
Vince is still waiting for those.
Yeah.
They'll be here any day.
Laramie, they're in the mail, okay? They promised him. He calls
Laramie,
him.
You want to start a blog? Then we might actually watch some movies. You want to start a podcast with us?
Yeah, I'm good.
Also, his daughter was super hot.
But it was awkward, right? Because she was like 17, and you're like, I don't know if I should be attracted to her.
Well, was she really 17? Well, that's all that matters.
I haven't looked it up. She looks about like she might be 19 in real life. But,
booyah.
Well, she like,
safe?
From the waist up, she's got like nice little boobs, and then she turns around and she's kind of got that like super skinny like 15-year-old girl butt, and you're like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't be attracted.
But then
to
you
her.
Check her real age and you say, yep.
Yeah, you stick a dipstick in there.
And she's a total bitch, which is like, yeah,
yeah,
red flag.
I know. Well, you figure she hates her parents enough. I might
to
have
go
a chance.
Out with a 40-year-old man.
All right, Hugo.
I don't really like Hugo.
Damn it, I haven't
Hugo?
Seen it. No, I didn't get to see it.
Why? What's the deal with every big director just making straight kids movies, like family movies?
I thought the trailer looked good. I don't know. The rare good.
I would say it looked okay. It didn't look terrible, but it didn't look like, man, I want to see that.
Yeah.
The thing that's annoying about Hugo is it's this really nostalgic piece that harkens back to when movies were first made and how creative and artistic people were, and it wasn't a commercial enterprise.
Racist.
And,
they're also really racist.
And it was about the art. And it's presented to you in glorious 3D. Can we have another $3, please, sir? And you're like, I feel like that is an odd dichotomy to try and pull off. You know, it's just like, this is massively commercial nostalgia, which is weird.
Welcome to our 3D movie theater. It's only $43 a person.
In stereoscopic vision.
Remember when movies mattered?
First name in kinetoscopes.
I don't know. By the way, the chick is named Shailene Woodley. She was born in 91, which makes her young.
20.
But I think
she's 20.
20.
Boom.
Yay. Bam.
Yay. Just makes us old, Laramie. It's okay.
Wait, nostalgia's the drug most trafficked in Hollywood. That's like all people sell anymore because no one can think of anything new. They're like, hey, remember that thing you watched when you were a kid and your parents didn't love you?
I do remember
We got
that.
More of that. It's
called Super 8.
Sexual comments.
It's time for animated mommy.
I just don't... I have a tough time enjoying movies that star kids. I would just rather that they cast it a little older.
Oh, or adults wearing small clothes.
young
face.
Oh, but it's got Chloe Moretz. She's the best of the child actors.
She is quite good.
She's the one from Kick-Ass?
She's got big pillowy lips.
Wow, this is getting weird. Vince is now taking off his pants, and he's doing the fire.
Oh God, put it away.
He's doing the start a fire move with his with his penis.
That's right.
You're gonna pull it off, Vince.
Yeah, I have a tough time enjoying movies as much as I could. That's why I didn't really want to.
Because of your horrible taste.
Because of my horrible taste. That's number one. That's what stands out every time.
So, all right.
I'm having a hard time enjoying this quality movie because I like things that are bad.
I have a hypothetical for you.
Yes.
What if it starred a kid, but also lots of robots that punched each other?
Well, it depends. What do those robots do and say?
How old are the robots?
Well, the robots, true. They make noises and they transform and they hit each other with swords.
The robots are barely legal.
You're onto something. I'm not going to lie. You're onto something.
Okay.
I'm all up in that movie.
Well, I just wish they cast it up like 5 years. So just to have it where if they want him to be like a 16-year-old, just have him be. I don't know. I find the kid actors usually very shitty.
That is true.
See? Suck my jeans.
You know what's fucking awful that nobody talks about is that the redhead kid, or maybe he's brown hair, but the kid from Modern Family.
Dude, I watched one episode of Modern Family last week, and all I could think about was, wow, they should not let that child be on film.
The kid can't walk into a room without you wanting to, like, hit him. You're like, holy fuck, that kid's a bad
fucking
actor.
Fucking crazy annoying.
Yep.
I've never watched that show.
I like the little Mexican kid, though.
He's
in The Muppets.
Is he?
And they burn him, which is funny. I mean, they...
Like
they,
Wicker Man?
Not metaphorically burn him, let's put it that way.
What?
They
like, he's with a bunch of other celebrities, and Kermit's like... you know, hey, Selena Gomez and young kid. You know, so it's like...
Nice face, Beaner.
No one knows who he is, so that's kind of funny.
Is that what they said? Laugh. Is that what they said? No?
Pretty much. Like, yeah, you're Hispanic.
I'll buy one in the back of those oranges.
Kermit the Frog.
Wow.
How'd you get so fat there, lard ass?
Mm.
He's a big kid.
It's not Yoda.
I didn't know dicks were so high in calories. If this were Arizona, we'd catapult you back over the fence.
Jesus.
Mm. Wow.
Mm. Wow. You said it.
Wow. We just hit on Brendan's racist nerve.
That wasn't a racist nerve. That was more joke about
Arizona. Oh, was it satirical?
And their... yes.
Yeah, you're right. Animal. It was.
And their quest to repeal all civil rights for brown-skinned people.
Mm-hmm.
Do the old movie critics make it into the Muppets movie? I like them.
Yes, they do. Very
Statler
limited.
And Waldorf, the best Muppet characters that are in existence.
Why do we always come here? Yeah, they're in there. They're in there for about 90 seconds.
What? Oh, I want to see more of them.
I could watch a weekly show with them, I think.
Yeah. But didn't they have a new character? Why could they...
Yeah, Walter is the new character. Neil Patrick Harris is in it. Jack Black.
So, but they kicked out Sadler and Waldorf for this new guy?
Sarah Silverman.
No one wants a new Muppet. That is whack.
That is, we want nostalgia.
Yeah.
No, they got to bring you into it. They got to lead you in slowly. Trust me. It's all right. Part of the master plan. All
right.
Is the new Muppet ironic in any way?
That's
all I can identify with at this point.
I don't know. I think
self-referential.
He's postmodern. If I had to
make it based on a meme. Make him the pepper spray cop.
Does he
what
do?
What was strange is only he was in 3D. The rest of the film was not.
Ooh,
really?
I don't believe that's true, but I like that.
That's not true. I made that up.
Burt Ratner's directing. We have a new Muppet called the Juggernaut Bitch. He's gonna
suck.
All right, so these next few are going to be lightning round because I'm tired of this game.
This was a game?
Or bit, whatever you want to call it.
I
section.
Am growing
I don't know.
Weary.
Yeah.
Only losers in this game.
Melancholia?
I wouldn't. No, I'm not seeing that.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I mean, it looks interesting enough. I don't know that I'd ever go pay to see it in the theater.
Kirsten Dunst shows her tits like 6 years too late.
That doesn't really do too much. But this is the movie that spawned Kirsten. Is your mic on? I think my Hitler jokes are not, they're not hitting the crowd.
Are there any Jews in the audience? Hmm. Seize them. I'm just kidding, but not really.
The Skin I Live In. You see that one?
No.
Arthur Christmas.
I did see that. Did you see Prep and Landing?
Nope.
Arthur Christmas has like a really good opening 30 minutes, and then it kind of devolves. Like if you're, you know, four, go see it. But
didn't they used to do claymation stuff?
I don't think that's true.
No, a different one. Oh, I'm thinking of the Pirates one.
There you go.
Immortals.
You know, I liked Immortals, but I like Tarsem's visuals, and people have kind of not loved the story, which is totally fair.
Ben would like it.
Which one? Sorry.
In purgatory with their shirts off.
Immortals.
Immortals, I told you. You guys cut me off after about five seconds.
Oh, yeah, you saw it. You liked it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you like it, Laramie?
I did.
The fight scene between the Immortals and the Titans was really cool.
I agree.
The gods and the Titans. Very, very cool.
I saw Like Crazy this week. Did you see that?
I was the first positive review out of Sundance at it. I'm glad you're finally on board of Like Crazy.
Hey,
although
I'm gonna draw some chairs. I've been drawing some chairs all day.
Do
chairs.
Say,
I like recliners, but sometimes I don't like the way they recline so much because I don't like leaning back. So I do a couple of, you know, set back chairs.
Did you draw any ergonomic chairs?
Oh yeah, sure. You know, I just the ones where you put your knee on the ground and you keep your spine straight while you're drawing more chairs. You know, you get really ups your productivity.
Do you ever draw the chair that you're actually in?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sometimes I draw the chair that I'm in just to see what kind of improvements I can make on the next chair. The certain places I feel uncomfortable in the chair, you know.
Wait, so you're actually sort of an engineer as well? Or you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
What do you think of the Lazy Boy chair?
I think it kind of goes against the idea of chairs. You know, you don't have to be lazy to enjoy a chair. So, you know, I mean, hey, they make some good chairs, but overall, I just think I don't like the name.
If IKEA offered you a job, would you take it?
Sure. You know, I really like the way they name their chairs. You know, they give it a name. I think that's important.
What sort of name, if you could create a chair right now, what sort of name would you give it?
You know, probably Julie.
That's a good name for a chair.
Yeah. I got a desk named Julie right now. I think they could bond if they're both.
The Julie desk and the Julie chair could bond.
Yeah, if they both had the same name.
Are your chairs, like, green? Are they, like, you know, made out of recycled wood?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, sometimes I make them out of live trees. It's green so they don't burn. You know, it's moist.
So you make a chair out of a tree that's still in the ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why would you make that choice?
You know, it stays green and it's still alive.
Why don't you finish your chairs? Like, why are they just like that unvarnished wood?
Because, you know, you give people the freedom to do what they want with their chair, you know? Being a chair means having the freedom to sit in or put a varnish on and do whatever you want with the chair, you know what I mean?
Maybe take a lady back to your chair?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's what, you know, one of them love chairs, love seats. It's kind of like a couch, but you can't lay down on it. She's got to sit real close to you. You know, when you're drawing chairs, she got to sit right there and look at it with you.
Are you pro or con on people, like, hanging their shirts on a chair?
Oh, you know, I'm pro shirt hanging. You know, they hang a shirt on. Whatever you need, a shirt that dries. It's a good place, you know, if you don't have any towel racks or anything. It's worse. I like to make sure my chairs all have multiple uses.
How do you feel about that game they play where they play music and they take chairs away? Musical chairs?
Oh, yeah, I played that game.
You like that?
Yeah. It's a good game, you know.
But it takes chairs away, which is not good.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, you just put them in the back and then it saves them some wear and tear, and that's important.
Well, people kind of roughhouse with them when they're trying to, like, sit there.
Oh, you know, I don't like that. I think that's bad. You should be always gentle with the chair. Treat it with respect.
What would you say to people at home that, you know, how could you take better care of chairs? What sort of care treatment is it?
Yeah, you should take care of your chair.
Should you polish them?
You should polish your chair. Once you sand it down, make sure it's smooth. You don't want to. You don't want to polish a rough chair. It's just a bed.
Do you start with the legs or do you start on top?
Oh no, you start on top of the chair. So when it drips down, it doesn't. You know.
How much? That'd be a drip down chair. That'd be paid to the seat.
Oh, hold on. He left. I think.
Oh. Because we could have kept that going for days.
He's walking away. I don't know. I don't know why he just left.
In the first 48-hour podcast.
I will say the one thing you mentioned about Like Crazy that everyone else seems to have missed is that Jennifer Lawrence is brutally hot in it.
Oh, God. Well, they both are. You're kind of annoyed. You're like, how does this asshole fucking Anton Yelchin have these two, choosing
who's,
between these two mega hot? She's the one you probably don't know. You do know. Bitch, but she didn't look that great in X-Men, but she was the
Mystique.
She was Mystique.
Yeah.
From Winter's Bone?
Yes.
Yeah.
He calls her by the wrong name in this film, and by his previous girlfriend's name, and she totally like tries to play it off, but you can tell she's really hurt. So sad.
She's got them big, sad cheekbones.
Yeah, that is a choice everyone would like to have.
Man, mm-hmm. Winter's Bone is fucking awesome.
That was good.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
I will think about that on occasion and remark to myself.
Hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so that chick's in it. She's good.
There she is.
There I am. Oh, yeah, and they bond over Paul Simon's Graceland. And I don't know if that's... I don't know if people that age would actually do that, but it pandered to me nicely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like... I think we were like
it's not our
five
generation
or six.
Either,
yeah, we were like 5 or 6 when it came out, and we love it. So.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. That's my favorite album of all time.
But Vince had very mature musical taste at 5 or 6.
That's true.
So I think at Sundance, it had like 6 tracks off of Graceland on it because you can get like a one-time rights fee or whatever. And then when Paramount bought it, I think they cut it down to like 2 Paul Simon songs from Graceland.
Yeah, there wasn't many.
Yeah. They're like, we're not paying for all that
they
nonsense.
Some good ones, though.
Man, that album kicks ass.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, all right. Yeah.
Are those all the Thanksgiving movies?
They are. I think they're all out now, or they will be this weekend.
I'm just saying those are them. We went over them.
Yeah, yeah.
This is those.
Oh, also, have you seen Martha? This one's good because I know this is the one everybody's mom's gonna mispronounce or mistitle. Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, or Marley Doodle.
I saw it. I interviewed Elizabeth Olsen for it, and I would say it's just okay.
Did you poke her in a big buggy frog eyes?
We didn't get around to that. It was only like a 20-minute interview. Yeah. I think that comes later. She seems very nice. And, you know, the film's about cults or whatever, so I think it's kind of dark and interesting. But it's also like, man, I just wouldn't join a cult.
Well, you would if you started the cult, because then you get to have sex with all sorts of chicks.
You want to start the cult.
John Hawkes started the cult, and he is creepy. He's creepy good in the film.
He's like the best actor ever.
Did you see it?
I did not, but I saw him in Winter's Bone.
There you go.
And he's like, oh, I already told you to shut up with my mouth.
Is that really a line?
Yeah, it is.
Oh. Yeah, he was good in that. Sometimes I'll think to myself,
It's good.
They did not send me a screener. What they sent me was like a for your consideration ad,
uh-huh.
Which like I don't vote in the Academy. So it was like, well, thanks for this. Now I cannot watch the movie.
Was it a full movie?
No, they didn't send me the movie. Oh. They just sent me an ad for it.
That's stupid.
Yeah, oh, like UPS.
That's delightfully backhanded. Hey, here's a picture of something you missed out on, pussy.
Do the screeners still have that scrolling text every couple minutes that say this is a screener, basically?
How would you know that?
Depends on who
know
you're dealing
things.
With.
I'm a Jew.
Some of them keep it up the whole time. Some flash it every 5 or 10 minutes with like a code. And some, like if the cheaper people don't have it on there at all, it just says like, please download this to the internet immediately.
They do
upload. Upload now.
For increased profits.
No, it actually, most of them now come with a letter that say, and it's the same letter from every studio, which is kind of weird because it's like, as you know, piracy is rampant in our industry and we're doing our best to cut down on it, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, is it folksy? God, I hate them so fucking much. I just want to punch them in the fucking face.
It's like, well, don't go to Somalia then.
Oh, God. Stop ruining the internet, dicks. Yes. Right. It's the only place I have left.
Yeah, stop distributing your screeners all over Asia, okay? There's a place to start.
Oh, Laramie, get me on that list. I want to just mail all their shit to Asia.
That'll teach them.
Well, it's like, I mean, it's the same logic that they're like, you know, they send you into the Twilight screening 4 hours before it comes out and they like frisk you and probe you when you know a kid is recording that like 10 minutes later at a regular screening. Like, who are they stopping? What's going on? It doesn't make any sense.
Keeping all the film critics from recording.
Well, they kind of thought exactly. They kind of thought you would die in the Twilight screening. Like, that was.
We have this idea that one day we're going to bring a full camera crew in and just play it off and be like, no, we're recording this for distribution on the internet. Warner Brothers sent us and see how long it takes them to figure it out. I think we get away with at least 10 minutes before they called somebody.
Nice. Before they probed your butt. I do like that the Occupy people are a menace to society, but the Twihards can just camp out for a week and it's celebrated.
I would be so happy if everyone
fight
just got
the real enemy.
Yeah, seriously, it's celebrated.
The Twilight screening, they said you're fine. They pointed at me and they go, you're fine to go through with whatever you have on you.
Is that because you were dressed as a werewolf?
But your guest has to be probed, which is weird. Because we don't think you pirate, but you probably hang out with pirates.
Excuse me, sir. I'll probe my own guests. Thank you very much.
You know, this 25-year-old housewife who wants to go to Twilight with me, you know. I'm like, oh, sure, go ahead. Defeat her to the wolves. Enjoy yourselves, fellas.
Go Team Wolves.
She came back a vampire.
She came back on Twilight.
Did you see that movie? It was not great.
No, I didn't.
What movie?
You guys should see that.
I didn't actually know that they were really showing movies. I thought they were just trailers and everyone showed up.
Oh, God. They just like fopped all over the next thing that they're not going to watch?
Yeah. I do like that after Harry Potter, I'm sure it'll happen again and again, that they just split the final movie into two. They're like, look, we could make $300 million or we can make $600 million.
5 minutes of pensive stares. Yeah. Someone brought it up at a pre-Thanksgiving thing I had to go to. I just, shut up.
Brought it up like, oh, I'm going to see this?
Because they had been talking about it. They had seen
it. You didn't want it spoiled.
Who goes to pre-Thanksgiving things? What are you talking about?
I don't know. People that apparently also, it's the Venn diagram of Twilight people and things I have.
People
to
that
to.
Likes Thanksgiving and people who see Twilight.
Yeah.
In the middle, there's pre-Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You just didn't want the spoilers, Brett. It's okay.
Yeah, someone on my Facebook, I think it was like someone that I went to high school, like a really distant acquaintance that, from high school that friended me.
Ex-girlfriend,
And she, one of her status updates was, so excited for the midnight premiere of Breaking Dawn. I know, I'm such a nerd. And I'm like,
shut up.
Like, no, you're a retard. Those are two different things. But
I mean, I get that it's not. It's just.
Oh, no. Did I tell you this story? What happened to me?
Oh, shit. What?
So there's this. I'm not going to say who they are, but there's some radio personalities in front of us. And like, it's kind of known they're local DJs or whatever.
Is it Ben?
And
Morning Zoo is in front of you?
And one of them brings a girl with them, which is kind of unusual to see a girl with radio DJs. Anyway, we're all talking about Twilight, Stephanie Meyer. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Uh-huh. And she goes, you know, Stephanie Meyer has set back women's rights like 20 years. She says this to me. And I go, well, then why are you at the Twilight movie? And she goes, I have to be here for my job. And I didn't say anything because I was like, what can I say? I couldn't think of it and had to let it go. But like, I realized later I'd never seen her before at a screening. Like, her job is not to just see Twilight. Like, that's not a job.
Yeah.
So she totally
that is the worst
me,
imaginable
with,
job.
Who are you? I should have come back with, I've never seen you before, you dirty, dirty whore. You love Twilight.
I go to every screening.
Get off the soundboard. Get the fuck off the soundboard.
All right. Hey, we got to finish this game.
No,
yeah, we
come
do.
On.
Yeah, we do. Everybody loves it, but you guys.
No, who? What? The
everybody,
internet?
Everybody on the internet loves it.
No, it's full of pirates
it's
in there.
It's taking the internet by storm.
Vince, I wouldn't be surprised if you created a fake email address just to email yourself saying how awesome this game is.
There's
was.
Only a few Jesus. More. There's only a few more.
Oh, and he giggles while he does it. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, exactly. Brett, you're down. You have no points.
Good.
Laramie has 4. Brett has 5, and Brendan has 5.
And I thought I had no points.
You don't have any points. I mean, Ben has, Ben and Brendan have 5. Laramie has 4. You have none.
I can't even tell our voices apart. I'm probably winning.
It's closest to under par wins, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm
Canadian winning. Rules.
Brett.
No.
Chad James, porn star or Seagal character?
Porn star.
You got that. You got that one.
Yay!
I like your efficiency there, Brett.
Yeah, I just want this to end.
Chad James starred in Bare Boners.
EAR?
He stars in Hung and Harry. Rod's Raiders. What? Size Counts.
Yeah, it does.
What the Boys Eat.
Size.
That sounds very dangerous.
Did you say salads?
I said size. They eat size.
And he was in
salads.
He was in 3 Hot Shots movies. Number 20, More Tight Buns. Number 27, Super Studs. And number 34, More Orgies.
Wasn't Charlie Sheen in Hot Shots?
He was, but this is probably a different one.
That was, well, after number 3, they started getting a little sexier.
they went unrated.
Yeah.
Okay, Laramie.
Sir.
Your Seagal character or porn star is Patrick Knight.
Porn star.
Yes, I like this already.
You got that.
I got it. Yeah.
Patrick Knight starred in This Ain't 2½ Men.
also starred Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, we
are all weird. Are all porn based on Charlie Sheen vehicles.
This ain't 2½ Men. It's 3.
This is a platoon orgy.
This is a platoon orgy
of Navy SEALs.
He also starred in
Major Leagues.
Major League Dick.
He also starred in Fallen Angel 4, Seamen, and Woodsman, which I think is nice and simple. Next up is Brendan.
Boo.
Elijah.
What's up, haters?
Elijah Kane.
That is a Seagal movie.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Elijah Kane is the star of.
Type it. You're typing it in.
I had to type it in. I hate you. I can't type them all into IMDb. I can't have like 60 tabs open. That would just be illogical.
You could if you cared.
Too many tabs.
Why is this?
He does routinely have over 40 tabs open.
Look at that. You guys got the first 3 right. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Someone needs to audit this game because I'm sure I'm ahead. And I have way more than 4 points. We've been playing it for like 6 months.
You're so wrong.
Seems more like 3 years.
It feels like longer.
Yeah. Time folds unto itself and unpleasing.
I think this is our penance for being on Vince's podcast. This is
probably for me, you know, speaking ill of someone on pre-Thanksgiving. This is my curse.
Coming back to haunt you.
Those are the rules.
Ghosts of Thanksgiving past.
Pre-Thanksgiving past.
Pre-cum from Thanksgiving.
What?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
A Thanksgiving warning shot.
Over the shoulder.
Ben, we got a hard one for you.
The next one's coming straight at your face.
I got a hard one for Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Michael Stefano or Stefano. I'm not sure.
I'm going to go porn star.
You're correct.
Yes.
We are killing this.
And I'm always excited when it's porn star because I like the title so much.
Wow, he's got a lot of titles.
You only have to read a couple. You don't have to read them all.
Well, he's in Altered Assholes 1, 2, and 3.
Rise from the grave. Rise from your blood. I'll suck your dick.
Oh, wow. He's in the very first Art of the Cum Fart.
Oh, man.
Do you think the art happens after or if there's like technique involved? Do you think it's just like a painting of a butt?
I don't know, dude. I'm still on A, but he's in Ass Clowns 1 and 2. Assault That Ass 3 through 10.
Wow. He is a busy actor.
Yeah.
Is he exclusively gay?
He's a typecast in the ass world, though.
He was in Bang That Black Bitch White Boy 1 through 5.
Oh, that sounds like a straight one.
Or a Vanilla Ice song.
Yeah. He was in Caution Your Ass, AZZ. Caution Your Ass is in Danger 1 through 5.
Mine's always in danger.
From
Brad.
What?
Brad,
what do you think?
He also starred in Chocolate Pussy Factory 2.
They have a whole factory devoted to that?
Oh, here's a great one. Coos Missiles.
Oh, that's good.
Oh,
who,
wow.
Who wants to unionize the Chocolate Pussy Factory?
I do. Oh, and also Cum Fart Cocktails 1 through 7.
Oh.
Oh, we don't like that one? Oh, and Cum Shitters 1 and 2. So
man, that is those are getting elaborate.
What do you mean elaborate? That's like as direct and blunt as it gets.
Not the title itself, more the production.
So like, much subtext.
Like we're not going to have a normal, just straight sex where we, you know, normally.
Would you say Cum Shitters isn't black and white? It's a black and white film.
I hope so.
Cum Shitters. Oh.
It's like, we're not going to do the traditional, you know, just jizz in her face. You're going to come in her butthole, and then she's going to somehow poop it out.
Yeah, yeah, we got it.
That's a Friday night.
That's Friday and Saturday for that
That's
production.
A pre-Thanksgiving.
Jizzer.
All right, last one for Brett.
Oh, this is done?
Boo. Yeah. Wait, what?
Well, we're going to say it is.
I definitely won.
John Seeger.
Seagal. You have to keep the streak going. Seagal. Do not get this wrong.
Final answer, Seagal?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yes.
That is Seagal's character in 2006's...
They All Love Ass.
Mercenary for Justice.
And Pussy.
What?
And Pussy. Mercenary for Justice.
Oh, well, should I do the thing where I substitute and make it a porn thing? Mercenary John Seeger is one of the best in the business. John and his crew are balling some French soldiers on the French-controlled Galmoral Island in southern Africa as they're trying to rescue the French ambassador.
No, trying to fuck the French ambassador.
Are you sure? Wait, are you sure this was
anything that's action-related? You switch.
Are you sure this wasn't Rock Hard to Kill?
John gets angry when some of his soldiers unload their machine dicks into the ambassador and his family, blowing the mission and getting his best friend Radio Jones killed. Fucking Radio Jones!
Getting Radio Jones fucked.
Yeah. Under Seaman 2.
John goes back to the USA.
Dark territory.
And goes to the home of Radio's wife, Chandra, and fucks her. And then promises that he'll take care of her and her son, Eddie. But shortly after that, he makes a vow. Chandra
want to be taken care of.
Chandra and Eddie get fucked. They were fucked by a CIA faction led by CIA dirty deeds man John Dresham and his boss, CIA black cock producer Anthony Chappell, who want to force John into doing a missionary for them. Kamal Dasan, the son of a prominent gunrunner, Ahmet Dasan, has been arrested and fucked into the Randveld prison outside of Cape Town, South Africa. Chappell tells John that John must go there and fuck Kamal out of prison if John ever wants to see Chandra and Eddie fuck again. What they don't tell John is that there's an ulterior motive at work.
There is.
And they intend to use John as a patsy in their plan to jerk off a highly secured African bank. And they don't care who gets fucked in the process.
I'm just picturing them going through jail and just raping people.
We're going to fuck you out of here.
Here, put yourself up close to the bars.
Can I choose to stay?
I didn't even change this next sentence. And it turns out that the whole thing on Galmoral Island was a screw job engineered by Dresham and Chappell. After John and his crew fuck Kamal out and stop the robbery at the bank, or orgy at the bank, John sets out to fuck Chandra and Eddie from Dresham and Chappell.
Wow, that sounds like a really good movie, actually.
That's a really long synopsis.
Yeah. That's a follow-up to Marked for Jizz.
Or Mercenary for Justice.
Ooh, yeah.
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 So
we squirt scenario for
Hard to dill? Hard to dill?
Ooh, hard to dill.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to dill.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to dill.
You got Brendan going.
Hard to diddle is what you want there.
No. We're sticking with hard to dill.
Exit wounds.
The best is that Brendan went to high school with a guy whose last name was Dilling until he told me the name and I immediately made fun of it. He had never thought of it before.
You know, I've known him since fourth grade, actually. So, yeah, that one slipped us by. But I got you back the one time where when you first started telling me about Joe King.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, I get it, Joe King. You're like, oh, I never thought of that. I was like, how the fuck did you never think of that? And then you called him to tell him about it. And I was like, how the fuck did he never think of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're even.
All right, fair enough. Joe took me and Lindy out for apple pie and a...
Brown sugar
in the brown sugar dish. It was delightful.
Speaking of, I have a bone to pick. I would like to come. That's it. No, I would like to come and record the Frogcast live. I want to be there.
Do it.
You are allowed to
set up the date. Have my people call your people about the screeners.
You don't need to bring much. You definitely don't need pants.
You'll need to bring sandals, though. The floor here is full of contagion.
Very sticky.
It is
You'll want to take a cab where they talk about transvestites.
You'll want to bring a nightgown.
I will. It's
worked for everyone so far.
It's one for one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the prospector onesie myself when I'm partying.
Oh, yeah.
It's all flannely and you poop out of it.
Cool.
Did Lindy perform at the comedy event as well?
She didn't, but she came to see me, and she got there like 30 seconds after I came off stage.
Oh, perfect timing.
Yeah.
That's when I always get there.
That's when you're your most funny, is when you're not on stage.
That's mean.
Were there any birthday dog flags or anything?
There was quite a few film drunk people that showed up, so that was pretty cool. Even a couple girls.
What?
Craziness. Yeah.
Post-op.
No.
I think it was even number.
They're all post-op?
I talked to two dudes and two girls that came from Film Drunk. So
wow.
Yeah.
You're following.
They were nice people.
Growing.
I even stole one of their jokes on stage.
But they yelled it out and you just repeated it?
No. I'd made a joke on Facebook or something, and then he sort of added a tag and a comment on it, and I basically used it more or less.
Did you fist pound him after?
Fuck yeah, I did.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're going to start using this. This celebrity is going to go to your head.
I know.
You're just going to go terribly, terribly wrong.
All your readers are going to write all your jokes for you.
Mm-hmm.
You got recognized in the street while we were wandering around drunk, and it was terrifying for me.
When was that?
We were wandering around drunk.
Was I really drunk to the point where I didn't remember? Who?
No. Brendan was there, too. We were all drunk together.
What? You were Michael Irvin gloves drunk.
No, I wasn't there. I think so. And this dude walked by, and he goes, "Hey, film drunk."
Oh!
None of us were wearing any paraphernalia or anything.
I think that was when we were standing outside that bar, and that guy kept talking to us because he said he was like from the Chilean Special Forces, and he was like here to kill somebody. And Vince kept going, "And then you fuck him, and then you fuck him," and he's doing like the aggressive hip thrust. Didn't someone come by?
Vince definitely does not like doing that ever.
No.
Oh, there's, man, no, you really Chilean Special Forces.
I know, that's what we were saying.
It's like there's no Chilean sea bass.
Well, that's what I was saying. No one else wanted to listen. Vince just kept going, "Yeah, and then you fuck him. Then you fuck him. You fuck him."
He wasn't getting, like, he just kept telling the story. Like, none of us believed his dumb story about, like, beating up terrorists or whatever. So he would get, like, three words into it, and he'd be like, "Yeah." So then I come up behind them, and I'm like, "Yeah." And then you fuck him. And then you fuck him. And I just, like, I'm, like, dry humping the street, basically. And he would get maybe four words out before I would do this again, and he just kept trying to tell the story for an hour.
This went on for an hour.
Yeah.
Until we were, like, all crying. Crying.
Like, well, you're not just dry humping the street. You definitely found some sort of pole.
Oh, yeah.
Or
a
fire
hydrant or potentially a car bumper.
Yeah.
Random people crossing the street.
I couldn't help but notice you said we weren't wearing any paraphernalia. You own film drunk, like, hats and t-shirts, tank tops?
Hey, look, I'm not too proud to take a free shirt, man.
I rock my birthday dog shirt with pride.
I got a couple of ponchos. No biggie.
He has glow-in-the-dark condoms. Those are new. He has
sombreros full of rats. Just got like a whole rat's nest in that sombrero. I don't know why you don't throw that away.
I just wear hats with different memes on them, like Judah Friedlander. It just says like birthday dog or
serious cat.
Ratner sucks.
He has a lot that say winning and tiger's blood.
Yeah. Drank your snake. He really
still selling those. We were at the Venice Beach Boardwalk and they're still winning
Venice
shirts.
Dude, Venice Beach Boardwalk's still selling fucking God Milk shirts. Like not unaltered, just straight up, "Do you have milk?"
Are you in possession of milk products?
Where am the beef? Do you remember?
I've had a dream to open like a funny t-shirt shop. Like, "Today's not your day to get a favor. Tomorrow doesn't look so good either." Like, those are just fun.
Yeah, there was a local comedian who said, who was one of his jokes. He was terrible, but he had one really good joke, which was, "When I was growing up, my dad used to work on the wharf. Every night he'd come home smelling like t-shirts."
Isn't that a Mitch Hedberg thing?
I don't think so.
I've heard that one before.
Yeah, because you were there at that comedy show.
Oh.
Yep. What were you saying? You've heard that live.
No, I was just thinking how funny it is how fucked out that meme got, like as fucked out as any meme has ever gotten.
Oh.
And I still remember the day it happened, we played the recordings. We thought it was so funny. And then it just...
Oh, Charlie off. Sheen.
Yeah,
mean,
the Charlie Sheen stuff.
It fell off of a cliff. Yeah. It got unfunny within about 72 hours.
Yeah.
Well, when he, took it up himself and decided to, that was going to be his new path to fame.
It would have been funny if he'd have killed himself. Then it would have stayed funny.
It really would have, yeah.
Then it would have stayed funny.
That's true.
Everything's
it is true.
Funnier with suicide.
Well, it's true.
No, you're right.
Yeah, it became very unfunny really fast, especially when...
Could have been Hemingway and Sheen.
When he went on every potential news program, and it was all the same thing, and he just said winning 1,000 times, yeah. And he looked...
Duh.
It looked like he was smoking cigarettes with his eyes. And
I forgot, we did have a couple email questions before we...
Oh, booyah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see, which one do I want to read first? Oh, there's a guy who...
How come no one refers to this as the drunk tank?
I don't know.
That seems like an easy one.
Yeah.
Right? Huh? Seems easy.
It's a layup.
What?
Yeah. Drunk tank.
I've thought a lot about the advice I gave to the guy whose lady friend, you know, got right home from coworkers, and I feel a little bad now. Like,
oh no, they broke up specifically because of you.
Yeah, they said.
Damn it.
They told us.
They emailed back and they said they got in a violent altercation. They both went to jail. And now they're broken up.
Although,
and they also got fired.
Vince's idea to grab her by the bicep and shake her and scream at her honestly made me cry during that podcast.
Wait, which one?
Remember that dude who was having his girlfriend banged by other people because he was waiting for the train?
Yeah.
The final thing you said on that part was, if all else fails, take her by the bicep, hold her really close and be like, "You get on that train! You get on that train!"
I do that. That's like a game my girlfriend and I play in public all the time. It's like I'll just grab her by the bicep and start like shaking and act like I'm really mad while people are walking by. Don't you fucking do you? Don't you be acting like that, girl? Come here.
My best lady is a bit of a crier. You know, when we leave or whatever, you know, if you're departing for a week, she'll give you some tears. But my older brother was hanging out with her one time after they like, dropped me at the airport, and he's like 6'5", 230. He's a big dude. So she's crying because I've just left, and she's not going to see me for a month or something. And he goes, "If you cry anymore, I'm going to hit you again," like in an airport. And you could tell people were like thinking about stepping in. You know, like, what do you do? What's your moral obligation at that point? This poor little girl crying, this huge dude hulking over, screaming at her. Just fun. Just good, clean family fun.
Good times.
I like to shush my girlfriend for sneezing in public places. Or she'll be like, I'm like, "Shut up! Shut up!" Old ladies hate that.
Enough was enough.
They hate that. I'm just a fan of the dismissive ass slap. I mean, it's a timeless maneuver.
Hey, girl.
Yeah.
Men
she gets
talking.
Up to go to the bathroom at the bar. Whoop-app. Hey, why don't you stop talking for a while, huh?
All right. So we got here. This one's about poop transplants. Those are always good.
Yes!
Brendan, are you almost done with your degree?
I got my fucking PhD in that shit.
You know, literally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fratours. As the unofficial Frotcast medical expert, it is my duty to share this tale of everyone's favorite medical therapy, the poop transplant.
Vince's mom is calling. Should we answer? Oh, shit. Oh, we missed it. Oh, it was close.
Vince just
Happy
freaked out.
Thanksgiving, Vince.
Vince just freaked out,
get
by the
that
way.
That back.
He's spazzed out like a fucking cat.
So, quick tangent. Brendan likes touching everything in Vince's room.
Oh, like one at a time, like picking it up and setting it back down.
I hate you. Frotours, as the unofficial Frotcast medical expert, it is my duty to share this tale of everyone's favorite medical therapy, the poop transplant. I'm a fourth-year med student rotating through the infectious disease service when we get a call about this old lady...
That doesn't seem safe.
About this old lady on her fifth bout of C. diff diarrhea, a condition associated with antibiotic use and hospital nursing home exposure. After seeing the patient, my boss asked me what treatment plan would be. With a glimmer in my eye, I boldly offered up, with her multiple treatment failures, I think she maybe warranted a different approach, maybe a stool transplant. Instead of being laughed at, my boss's face lit up and he lauded the effectiveness of the stool transplant, even going so far as to bring it up to the patient and her husband. My professionalism was pushed to its limit watching this poor old bastard's face as the collection and transplant process was explained. Update.
So what you're going to do is shit into a bowl, and you're going to bring it here.
Here's this blender we have.
You're going to bring it.
You're going to drive it here in the car, preferably strap a seatbelt around it.
Here's what you do. You put it on puree for 30 seconds. Don't go any longer. You'll come back and there's nothing there.
Usually we use it for smoothies, but we're going to clean it out, and then you're going to use it.
This is preferably a bowl you don't want to use for food.
Poop in this blender.
If you still want to live after that, we'll do the transplant.
Updates will follow as I push my hardest to be the one to perform said transplant myself. You know, in the interest of science. And then his name was Adam, and he sent us the actual...
Stool sample?
He sent he sent us the actual.
Hey, hey buddy, I mailed you some poop.
I don't know what it's called. I don't know what it's called. The report, the official like report.
Yeah, I looked at it. Yeah, it's basically just like the course of action that they're going to take, and it does say fecal transplant. It's pretty amazing.
See, you know what? We're saving lives.
We are.
We
this
are.
This might be the most important fraught cast out there.
President Obama, I await your call.
Also, we got one. We got a couple questions.
Thank you for the Kit Kat picture.
Yeah.
I want to crown in my butt logo.
Oh, man.
I looked at that on my way to work, and I lolled on the bus.
I definitely, that was a full Rafflecopter.
That was special to me. I was really happy. Thanks for whoever, who sent that in, Vince?
That was the executive.
That was Marielle.
Marielle, thank you so much. Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth.
And into your butt.
And
are you sure that, I'm pretty sure that was Kit Kat. That was the executives at Kit Kat.
Yeah.
They really are running with that campaign. That's their new. You're going to see that on a bus logo soon. Or on the side of a bus.
I'm Mr. Kit Kat, I'm assuming the check is in the mail.
Johnny Kit Kat.
Brendan, this is James Kit Kat. James Kit Kat the fourth.
Todd Kit Kat.
I want to break you off some money for your amazing slogan.
Brendan, this is Kit Kat. Hey, isn't that? Yes, I know.
And his sister Kat.
How is Kit Kat not enlisted Kit from Knight Rider as the spokesman?
Ooh, see,
no different spellings, Laramie.
Ah, my bust.
Oh, and there's a lot of periods.
Kit had two T's.
One's an acronym,
right?
I'm trying, Michael.
I crammed them in my exhaust pipe, Michael.
Drunkards. The first question relates to the recent Penn State scandal. The broadcast briefly addressed the recent scandal, and everyone did a nice job walking on eggshells, while Vince absolutely trampled them with no regard in his strange rant on child molesters having game. Though begrudgingly...
What? I didn't even notice. Vince said something along the lines of, you know what? I'm actually jealous.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
I think he did an air high five to the child rapist of the
world. You know what he did? One of these...
I can't get
one. Yo, Sandusky. Bump. Yeah. Give me some dap.
You didn't let me get to the parenthetical yet, which was, though begrudgingly, I found myself having to admit he made some salient points. The question I was posed was, is there a limit to what type of crime you would keep quiet for a close friend, if you knew about it? This shall forever be known as pulling a Paterno. I feel like I had to draw a line at child rape if I found out my best friend was doing that. I feel like the fact that he tricked me into thinking he was semi-normal would make me feel deceived enough to report him. I'd love to hear where the drunkards come out on this one.
I'd be way more likely to cover up a murder than I would a child molestation.
Well, murder's victimless.
Yeah.
I mean, after it's done, anyway.
I didn't say nothing, man. Snitches get stitches.
Brendan actually has that tattooed on his forehead.
Yeah.
In reverse.
And then just street law across his chest.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You can't search my bag for weed because I don't have any.
You don't have a backpack?
No.
I don't own any bags ever.
I feel like it would be hard to accept. I feel like everybody's all over Paterno, but I feel like it would be hard to accept that the guy was actually like raping a kid in a.
Well, it turned out it was a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Because he had so much game, according to you.
Paterno's like, hey, I let him fuck me in the ass.
Have you seen that guy?
That guy's got game. Actually, you get to,
hell, I let that guy fuck me in the ass. He's got game.
Terrifying.
You can't unsee that. If you see your best friend or whoever doing that, you can't walk that back.
Yeah.
You're not going then going knocking back some Coronas the next Friday.
Yeah.
No, but he didn't see. But Paterno didn't see it. He heard about it from a third party, and then he probably got the word from his friend that was completely different than what the other guy said.
What? No, we were naked and
we were just fooling around in the shower, and you're like, oh, okay, well that makes sense. You're obviously going to want to believe that rather than he was like slap pounding ass.
An element of like, what do you want to believe? Do you really want to believe that like someone you know and have worked with is doing something that gnarly? You're like, no, this is probably not what happened. They're probably just wrestling.
He was not.
Wall of denial, activate.
Yeah, exactly.
Guy's got a lot of game though. Yeah.
I would like to think that if that was your buddy, that you would have seen the signs coming a little bit.
He was always trying to tickle me.
Yeah. Well, he stopped when I got
stopped
older.
After we graduated high school.
Yeah.
Well, enjoying priesthood a lot.
Oh, also, he had a second question, which was, do we answer that? Did everybody get their 2 cents in on that one?
Oh, I mean, I think
we'll all cover up murder if necessary, as long as we don't like the person murdered.
True.
I think it's basically anything that's just, I don't know. I mean, certainly any sort of sexual rape, molestation is probably not legit.
The more interesting question, I think, is what if you walked in on a horse doing your friend? Do you cover that up? Because at that point,
you need like a really big tarp to cover that up.
Was your friend Catherine the Great?
Your friend's in on it. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? Everyone's having a good
Wait,
time.
So is someone on the horse?
That's just not cool if it's doing that. Yeah.
Catherine the Great, Mr. Hands walk into a bar.
Yeah.
Is someone pretending to ride the horse like a jockey?
The whole movie Zoo was about this, right?
If it was a jockey, you wouldn't have to pretend.
I don't know. If you want to bang a horse, you go right ahead, Vince.
Goddamn right.
Yeah, why is that illegal, Vince?
I don't know, man.
So
they say horses can't contend, but horses have personalities.
I wouldn't ever cover up a murder because no one got murdered, and I know what you're talking about, and don't come looking for me on vacation because I'm having fun, and there's no need to come and find me.
Street law.
Street law.
You have to put that at the end of your emails, like set for my iPhone, otherwise it doesn't count in street court.
Right.
Stop snitching.
All right, so the second question is relevant to Ed Shin. The second question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that you could get away with murder? This obviously raises many questions. Can I pick the victim? But we also were then curious about something more high profile.
We talked about this, and your main concern is coyotes.
You're talking the people who ferry immigrants across the border?
No.
What do you do with
those are mules? Small dogs.
I think the biggest question is what it comes down to.
You have a giant ocean out there. What do you?
No. That's what we're talking about. You don't want to get fancy. No acid. Just fucking drive out somewhere. Dig a little trench.
No, I'm saying there's no digging. You take a boat. You go 20 miles off sea. You get some weights and you're good.
Yeah, but you got to rent the boat.
Yeah,
paper trail.
You got a paper trail.
You guys are going about this all wrong.
Brennan's killed all sorts of people.
I think the biggest way the cops are going to get you is motive. So if you don't have a motive and you just kill a random person, I mean, right there, you're already five steps ahead of the game.
And no, here's what you do. You go to the hood and you kill somebody because they never solve murders there.
Street law.
It's true.
They don't. They never do.
Street law. I bet you right now I could go down to the Tenderloin and choke out a crackhead.
Yeah.
And just walk away.
Yeah, and just walk away and no one would even know. Yeah.
And leave him up.
I mean, what? I never did that. Street law.
Y'all can't see me. Street law.
No, but I'm pretty sure I could do that.
If you could choose the victim.
And I wouldn't get caught.
If you could choose the victim and you just killed a hobo, I'm pretty sure you could get away with it.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Unless McNulty starts putting red ribbons around his wrist and shit. Meddling son of a bitch.
Street law.
Yeah. Street law.
No? You know nothing about?
Well, street law holds up in street court, so.
Sure does.
Oh, God. Street lawyer like Sugar Plum? Sugar Plum's your street lawyer? Sugar Plum?
This motherfucker ain't do that shit. Street law.
I call my first witness, Coleco. Coleco, what's up?
Did he do that? Hell no.
Ain't seen shit. All right.
Next witness. Did he do that? Hell no. Nah. Street law. Case closed. You're set to go free.
That's the street district attorney has a rough time.
The street district attorney has a dickens of a time proving reasonable doubt.
He's like, objection.
Or beyond reasonable doubt.
God damn it. Sustained again?
And the judge is shouting street law. Street law. That's overruled, sustained, street law.
Have I talked to you guys about on the broadcast about hater court?
No. Is this a show that you created?
No, this is when I was playing football. We would have, if someone hated on another guy and it was an egregious enough of a transgression, we would actually have a full hater court. And there would be a judge, there would be jurors, there was prosecutors, defense attorneys, and there was witnesses. And this would all take place there's like a separate lounge part of the locker room where we would all like congregate before practice, and there was a TV, and God help you if you ever changed it from BET, side note. But
really? People do watch that?
That's also street law.
BET?
Yeah.
Bees do.
All right.
And there was a preponderance of them on a on your normal Division I football team. So anyway, so yeah, we had a whole hater court, and it was like there was like witnesses, and then there was like the audience. There was like the peanut gallery. So it was like, you know, what did you see on the night in question? And like the witness would be like, well, man, I was at the party, and I seen G17 come in, and he'd be like, hey, yo, Damon, I saw your fiance earlier, right when Damon was talking to a girl. And everyone's like, oh, you know, it was like the big thing. And so, yeah.
Who's the judge?
That sounds like a rollicking good time.
The judge was one of our team captains who was also a criminal justice major. Mm. So it made a lot of sense.
An air of validity to this.
Yeah. This was legit because the one that I saw that was a shut and close case. Guy walked in. Dude was talking to a girl, and the other guy comes in and says, hey, I talked to your fiance earlier. I saw your fiance earlier. I thought, open, shut case. The defense attorney just created this compelling, you know, like, hey, it might not have happened, and it actually ended in a mistrial. I'm not making this up. It was a mistrial. And, in fact, the only conviction I ever saw was Big Dookie got convicted. I don't remember what it was for, but Big Dookie was 330 pounds.
And he got convicted of hating.
He was hating, but I can't remember what the actual thing that he did was.
The code of hating
in the first degree.
Yeah. He couldn't.
He
no, Dookie was 330 pounds. He could not eat at the training table for 2 weeks. And there was, like, people
he was convicted of hating.
Yeah, he was convicted of hating. I don't remember what it was, but yeah, he wasn't allowed to eat at the cafeteria for 2 weeks.
I would watch that show.
I would totally watch it.
And I would also watch Street Court.
Yes.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
I do love judge shows. That could be even better.
Judge Mathis is the best. I really like Judge
Mathis. He's a little, I mean, when he starts talking about, he's a little bit of a teetotaler. I don't like that about him, yeah. But other than that.
Not enough street law in his courtroom.
I kind of like Judge Alex because he doesn't scream at anybody.
Yeah, I feel like I think Mathis, I don't think he grandstands all that much.
Yeah.
Like Judge Judy does, but he's so good at just cutting straight through the bullshit and calling people out on it.
I think Judge Milian is the worst because she just like gets really bitchy.
How many judge shows are there?
I've never seen Judge Milian.
She's the new people's court judge.
Oh.
The sexiest is Judge Judy.
True.
By far.
That picture that I saw where the guy had the tattoo that said only Judy can judge me, it was like, fuck, man. If I would have thought of that, I would have got that instantly.
Totally.
That is the best idea ever.
But your street law tattoo takes up your whole upper body.
That's true. It's the old English. There's the big
letters.
It's got
all them curly bits.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It's oh, frilly serifs. Oh. Well,
you shouldn't have chosen the 300-point font either.
And it's like an illuminated manuscript.
I wanted
manuscript.
To make a statement.
It's got little...
Do you think you're one of the first people to have the bedazzled tattoo?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
But oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Oh, he's back. Uh-oh.
Sorry.
I thought we got another email with another question, or is that it?
I think that was it.
Oh, there's not another starred email in your inbox?
That might have been starred by Ben, say.
No.
Oh, yeah, there was one more.
Are you sure you haven't double-checked that there's not another starred email?
No, I haven't checked the email recently.
There was one more.
And I will testify to that in street court and hater court.
Street law.
Someone found an interview with a video game character designer who referenced Andy Serkis, our favorite topic. And this was the quote from the interview. The motion capture, the performance capture process, is what makes such a difference for this franchise. So I don't approach it any differently. The other actors and I go in and rehearse scenes together, and then we go in the next day and perform. Andy Serkis had a great quote about how annoyed he would get when people would say, oh, you're the voice of Gollum. He would say, no, madam, I am Gollum. He maintains that performance capture is no different from any other acting, except that he wears digital makeup.
And a helmet.
And Dan writes, I love that Andy Serkis is a dick to people that recognize him. He's truly the Sean Penn of motion capture.
Yeah, I do really like that they just slap a bunch of ping pong balls on him and a helmet. He's like, yeah, I am that fucking monkey, okay? And Gollum. Yeah,
I would love it if they're just fucking with him and they didn't do any sort of digital shit. They just threw him up there in his little leotard and his fucking ping pong balls just spazzing out and talking British.
If I were a billionaire, I would cast him in a film that wasn't being made and just film him doing mocap.
Ooh,
You're on. It'd be like the next Windy City Heat.
Oh, and I'd make him skateboard in a half pipe.
And I'd be like, "This is acting. Enjoy."
The slugs have taken your skateboard, Andy. Go after them.
You're enraged.
But you can't use words. Only slug snot, Andy.
Andy, your butthole itches. And the sun's in your eyes.
Hey, fellas, I have some bad news.
What's that?
I have to go.
Okay.
I didn't think this would go so long.
Yeah, we do that.
I've had a boner this whole time.
A phoner or a boner?
You should alert a doctor because it's been at least 4 hours.
I have to go pick up someone at the airport, actually. It's turkey time.
They have airports in Seattle?
You're picking up a turkey from the airport? That is legit.
I'm in Dallas, believe it or not.
What?
I know. It gets crazier and crazier, the story. Yes, sir. So you can call me on my phone, though. I'll be in the car.
No, we don't need to do that.
We're putting this one to bed.
why don't we just not do that?
It's good because when I talk to you on my phone, I can't hear fuck all. Yeah. So.
All right, street law, son.
Street law, you guys have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Have a happy post-Thanksgiving.
And if, Laramie, always remember, at Thanksgiving, if someone, you know, if you need to enact street law or a hater court, you know, just you can do it right then and there. That's the beauty of it.
You don't hate on them right then. You take them to hater court.
You have a citizen's right to assembly of hater court.
I'm going to go get away with murder, fellas. All right.
Beefing for life.
Thanks, Laramie.
Boom.
Blooped out.
Blooped out. All right. Well, should we take this thing home, you guys?
Let's do it.
Well,
anything else? Andy Circus?
I'm just picturing Andy Circus. I would love actually if he went to the Academy Awards with all the mocap stuff on.
Yeah.
And then like they had a split screen with him and the mocap on one side, and then him as like the monkey or golem on the other. And he actually won an award for something, and he went up on stage like,
oh, and just started crying like a pussy.
No, but like crawling around, you know, like a monkey or a golem, you know, sort of hunched over. Mm-hmm. I accept this award.
Or if they just projected him in a bodysuit with ping pong balls, like a computer generated picture.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Oh. Ooh, that would be good.
That would be good.
I don't get it.
They reverse mocapped him.
Yeah, they do a full 3D model of him in a silly helmet and ping pong balls.
Leotard.
And he's like, oh, thank you. Thank you. But it's just like a really fancy version of him doing that.
See, and that would actually make me want to watch the Academy Awards for those 30 seconds.
Dude, do people watch that?
See, you know what I was...
Nope.
You know what I was thinking?
Until next week.
For the next Fast Five movie or whatever, they just digitize Paul Walker and they have Andy Serkis like play the part of Paul Walker, like they have him, like they have fucking Andy Serkis do all the acting, but it's just like a digitized Paul Walker where his face, like,
that would be
like
awesome.
Andy Serkis moves all his facial expressions and everything.
Just like a GIF playing over and over again.
You're like, wow, this is Paul Walker's best performance in history. It's amazing.
Do you think they could also cast some sort of Na'vi in that?
Yeah, for no reason. Yeah,
why not?
That's true.
They joined their car stealing gang. Na'vi loves stealing cars.
That would be no less ridiculous than the last movie
than Paul Walker.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right. Well, no. I can't stop it. All right. So I was about to rap over that.
All right. Oh. Well,
I didn't know that you were just throat clearing for a rap. Or
turn up my left headphone.
What?
Why does no one have their headphones tuned properly in rap music? What the? I mean, you're.
Oh, really?
Chappelle did a thing on that. When he was fisticuffs.
Yeah.
He's like, turn my headphones up. Turn them shits up.
That was his whole thing.
Yeah, that was his whole thing. And he's like, give me some bass. All right, now give me some treble. Give me some treble.
I can't hear my shits.
Yeah. Turn them shits up. And then it shows him actually writing it down. Turn them shits up. And then it's got like all the hype guys. And they're like, we out here. We fucking bitches without no condoms on.
Someone at work was watching the Player Haters Ball today, and it's a very, very awesome.
I watched that about two nights ago on Comedy Central, and I was like, God, this is brilliant. It's so good.
All right, before we go, someone tweeted to tell you that the Muppets has a banana phone in it.
Yeah.
Probably by Fonzie.
Yeah, most likely.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for spending your Thanksgiving with us, guys. I'm glad that we could do this for you. Frotcast@gmail.com. What's the Google voice, Vince?
It is 415-275-0030. And if you're a foreign type, the country code is 1.
Yeah. All right. So do we have a topic for next week?
Depends.
Send us pictures of gorgeous big-titted women.
Oh, yeah. We talked about the awkward movie moments with your mom.
Oh, yes. Yes. Awkward movie moments with your mom.
Thanksgiving stories.
Watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, the one where Bob Odenkirk talks about putting Tabasco sauce on his finger and sticking it up his butt. That was a good one. But, yeah.
Wait, what?
What?
I watched that with my mom.
What'd she say?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
She said, Brendan, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Brendan, if you do that, use some sort of protection.
Right.
What'd she say, though?
I don't even remember. It was so embarrassing. I was mortified.
But she didn't say, like, oh, I did that before.
No, it was weird. Nothing like that. Yeah. We were both very embarrassed. All right, cool. So send us those. Give us your best ones. We'll read them on air. And until next week, good night and good chins.
Boom.